Thank you, Dave, and another good morning to each one of you here today. I do want to say how much that we as an assembly and as elders and I as one who am speaking this morning appreciate you being here. I don't want you to ever think that you're not missed when you're not here, because you are. And we know that there are reasons that we can't always all be together, but we miss you when you're not here with us, and it's a blessing to see you. You may feel like it's not that important whether you're in attendance at a particular meeting or whether you do something else, but it does matter, and we want you to know that and to be assured of that. And we know that it matters most of all to the Lord, and we hope that you're blessed by being here. I want to ask you to turn this morning to Exodus chapter 24. Again, we have been following the nation of Israel as they have been traveling, leaving Egypt, where they were in bondage for many years, and God redeemed them out of that as a nation, brought them over the Red Sea, brought them into the wilderness, and that's where they are now. We've been following them and for a number of months, really, watching and listening and hopefully learning from what they experienced. We read in the New Testament in several passages, Romans and 1 Corinthians, that the things that were written concerning these times, in which we're going to be looking at, they were written for our learning. Not just for our historical learning, that we might put it into the archives of our minds, and hopefully if we ever hear a Bible trivia question, we can answer it. Not that, but rather that we can take it and apply it into our lives, that these things that happened to them, the decisions they made, the things they did, the experiences they had, will serve as warnings to us, and also as encouragements to us. And we've seen many parallels through what was happening in the lives of these people in their journey on the way to Canaan, a land that was going to be a land, yes, of battles, but also of great blessing. And we've seen that throughout our Christian lives, we might be experiencing all three of these stages at one time. And oftentimes, as we look around us and we recognize the barrenness spiritually of this world and this culture, we can be reminded of the nation of Israel traveling, journeying through this barren wilderness physically that they were experiencing. And we find many lessons that we can apply to our own hearts and hopefully to our own lives. And we're at Sinai. We've been here for a number of weeks, and we've been listening to the very voice of God, the Lord, as He has spoken to the nation of Israel, a number of laws, beginning with the Ten Commandments. And we've spent some time looking at those commandments and being reminded of God's purpose for those commandments, to be used as a tool in sharing with others and drawing them to the Lord Jesus Christ, not the commandments as a rule of life. No, our standard is much higher than those Ten Commandments. As wonderful as they are, our standard is the very love of the Lord Jesus Christ shed abroad in our hearts, those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And we see that love, as we looked at some last Sunday night, that love will take us beyond any desire to meet up with the standards of the law. The law was not given for that purpose for us, but it is a wonderful tool to use in witnessing. Chapters 20 through 23 really contain a listing of commandments. All of those particularly applying to the nation of Israel, and we could learn much from them. All Scripture is profitable, but in our study, we'd like to jump over that. We've spent a number of weeks on the commandments. We're moving over now to chapter 24, and we're moving into another issue that we'd like to look at, another subject this morning. And chapter 24 records for us an interesting series of events that focus on something that I think is vitally important on the journey of our lives. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and you're journeying through this life, and maybe you're struggling with some of the spiritual barrenness that is a result of the dryness of the world in which you live, and maybe you're struggling, and maybe the world itself, pictured by Egypt, is still nipping at your heels and saying, come on back. Don't you remember all that you used to have and all that the world used to offer to you? Or maybe you're even engaged in some spiritual battles, and very likely you are, and we'll see more some lessons for us when we get to Canaan on that. But as we go along, we never want to forget that in spite of the struggles, in spite of the difficulties, in spite of the battles and the trials, and sometimes it seems like that's all this before us, you know, God has more for us than that. God has special privileges and special blessings that are only going to be enjoyed by those who were journeying with Him. Remember, the nation of Israel was following that cloud. God said, you follow me. And at this point in their journey, they're right where God wanted them to be. He brought them down that Sinai Peninsula, down there to that point where the mountain was, where they received the commandments from His lips, and also on those tablets of stone engraven there. And they were right where God wanted them to be. And as you journey through this life and as you go through problems, it's very likely that you're right where God wants you to be. He's allowing things into your life, or maybe you've even made some poor decisions and you're reaping some of the consequences. God is using those consequences for your good. And as you go through the struggles of life, God is wanting you also to appreciate the blessings, and particularly the blessing of who He is. And this morning I would like for us to think a little bit about glory. The glory of the Lord on the journey. You might say, well, you know, I was hoping I could get something I could sink my teeth into this morning. Something that I could take and take with me back out on the job tomorrow. And into the neighborhood tomorrow. Into my daily life. I trust that you will find this to be something that will so catch you up and so thrill your heart that it will have a great impact on your life today and through the rest of your life. And through eternity. Here in chapter 24, we're going to be reading a selection of verses, and we're actually going to be reading some verses in some other places here in Exodus 2, where this whole theme of the glory of the Lord comes together. We'll start out in verse 1 of chapter 24. And the Lord has been speaking the commandments in 24 verse 1. He goes right into, and He, that's the Lord, and He said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, of course that's his brother, Nadab and Abihu, those are Aaron's two eldest sons, and 70 of the elders of Israel, that's some of the leaders of the nation. Come up unto the Lord and worship ye afar off. Remember, the whole message of Sinai was don't get too close. Don't get too close. God is holy and you are unholy. Let's go down in this interesting passage, very unique. Let's go down to verse 9 and see what happens here. We follow the story. Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel. And there was under His feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in its clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, He laid not His hand. Also they saw God, and did eat and drink. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God, and he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are here with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. and the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. The glory of the Lord. What is glory? That is one of those words that's very difficult to comprehend, much less to communicate. And we could think of glory in from a number of angles, but really as we think about the glory of the Lord, we might say that in a sense the glory of the Lord could be defined as the sum total of His attributes. The expression of who God is. His intrinsic essence, who He is essentially in His being, the glory of the Lord. Interestingly enough, we started out this morning with a song. That wasn't that interesting because we always do that. But interesting what the song was. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. And we were speaking there not so much of the intrinsic glory of what God is and who God is, but we were saying that we want to declare to God who He is. We wanted to reflect glory to Him. Now, we can't give God any more glory, if you know what I mean, than what He already is. He is infinite. He is perfect. He can't get any more glory in His being than He already has. He never will. He is perfect without beginning, without end. You cannot add to His glory nor take from it. In the essence of who He is, of course, our reflection of that glory, our recognition of that glory, our expression and appreciation of that glory, yes, that can go up and that can go down. And it's God's desire that that go up for our good and also for the testimony to others who do not know Him, that they might recognize His glory. And so we sang this morning, glory to His name, glory to Him. We want to ascribe to Him what He already is. Husbands, if you want to make your wife feel appreciated, you could do a lot of different things, and you probably do. But you don't want to tell her what you wish she was. You don't want to tell her what she used to be. You don't want to tell her what maybe she could be if you want to tell her what she is and who she is. And you want to express that to her. And that is going to mean something to her because you're speaking to her of who she is. And the same can go from the wife to the husband. And so we're telling the Lord who He is. He already knows, by the way. And He's not going to be any less of who He is if we don't tell Him. But what a privilege for us to tell Him how we see Him, how we understand Him, and desire to know and understand Him more. Glory to His name. The Lord is worthy of all the glory that we can reflect and declare to Him. And the Lord is the possessor of all the glory. In the prayer that the Lord Jesus taught His disciples, you remember how it ended. As He spoke of the power and the glory being His. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. It's already His and He deserves it. It's who He is. God's glory, the glory of the Lord, is essentially who He is. And God is under no responsibility to let us know about His glory, but He does in His love. And He has revealed His glory, and we see it here. We read about it as those men went up there on that mountain and they saw God. Now, they didn't see the face of God in the sense of a direct look at Him. We read, and we will read this morning, that you cannot see God and live. You'll die. There is no way that in our humanity we can look upon the glory of God in its fullness and live. It would strike us dead. We couldn't handle it. But they were able to see some expression of God, and it's painted in a very unique way there in verse 10. And really it doesn't talk about what they saw in the appearance of God Himself. And very likely that was so brilliant and bright that they could not even make out the form. What they could see was the beautiful paved work that was under His feet. Tiles that were of like a sapphire stone, a beautiful blue stone, my wife tells me, a beautiful blue stone, and it was like the clarity of a Carolina blue sky day, like yesterday. Beautiful. Beautiful. And that's what they saw as they looked, and they saw God. And later there in the chapter, we see that Moses went up into the mountain, and that the children of Israel there in verse 17 were looking at the mountain, and they saw the glory of the Lord, and it was like consuming fire on top of the mountain. Let's go back in history just a little bit to where we've already been. Chapter 16, we're going to read through quickly some of the references here. You may remember if you were with us back at this particular part of the journey, they're just getting into the wilderness. They've gotten over the Red Sea by God's miraculous rescue, and they've worked their way, and they're already running into some problems, which is what we tend to do. We bring a lot of them on ourselves in a lot of the difficulties we face. But here in chapter 16, look at verse 2, and watch for the glory of the Lord. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth in this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. There's the circumstance. Now, look down at verse 6. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, at even in the evening, then shall ye know that the Lord hath brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord. Tonight, you're going to know that God's the one that rescued you. You're murmuring against us, Moses said, but really you're murmuring against God because you don't have to eat what you want to eat. Or when you want to eat it, the meals aren't served on your schedule. But tonight, you're going to know that God's the one who rescued you. And in the morning, you're going to see something. You're going to see the glory of the Lord. You remember what happened the next morning. They came outside and the ground was covered with something. They said, what is this? It was manna. The miracle of God's provision from heaven. That's the glory of the Lord as it's described here. Look on down in the passage here where we are. Look at verse 10. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness. Now here, Aaron's talking to them, and they look out. Remember, they're heading into the wilderness. So they look forward to where they're going, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. They've seen the glory of the Lord. They've seen His miraculous provision, not just one morning, but every morning. Every morning when they got up, the dew evaporated, and there was the manna, the food they needed, the perfect food of heaven to meet all of their nutritional requirements and to fill their stomachs, and it had a sweet taste like honey. And then they look out in the wilderness, and there they see that cloud that they are following. And in it, God is expressing to them His glory, who He is. Moses and these other 73 men go up on the mountain and they see this vision of God and His glory and the beauty and the majesty. And then the children of Israel look up to the Mount Sinai where Moses is, and they're watching for him and wondering, when's he coming down? It's been 26 days. It's been 31 days. When's he coming down from there? And they see the glory of the Lord like a consuming fire. God expressing to humanity His glory. We can't comprehend it. We can't understand it. And so He tries to give us a little glimpse of who He is and shows us in these different ways. But you know, it's interesting. I'm going to ask you now to go over to chapter 33. We're still at Mount Sinai. I know we're jumping ahead a couple of chapters here, and we're going to go back and look at it. But we're trying to kind of bring together some of these thoughts concerning the glory of the Lord, and particularly as it's being made visible to these people. In chapter 33, we're going to start down at verse 12. Well, first, let's read verse 11. "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend." Verse 12. "And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he, Moses, said unto him," the Lord, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name." And now here's Moses. Here's Moses, the man that has seen the glory of the Lord in the miracle of the provision of manna day after day. Here's Moses, the man of God, who has looked out into the wilderness with all the people, and he has seen that cloud, and he has seen in that cloud the glory of the Lord being revealed. And here is Moses, the man who has gone up onto Sinai at the request of God, in the invitation of God, and he has sat, and he has ate and drank, and he has seen God in His glory and majesty. And he has looked up into the mountain where he is walking, and he has seen like a consuming fire on the top of that mountain the very glory of the Lord. And in verse 18, Moses gets the opportunity, and here's what he says to God. And he said, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Lord, I want to see your glory." We might say, "Moses, for crying out loud, you've already seen His glory. Did you miss the manna this morning? Did you not look up on the mountain and see the fire? Did you forget the cloud? What about that vision that you and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and the 70 elders, what are you asking for, Moses?" In his heart, Moses says, "There's more. Lord, please, I beg you, I want to see your glory. Let me see that." He sensed there was more to the glory of God, and he wanted to see it. In His goodness, in His grace, in verse 19, God says, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." And he said, "Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live." And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass that while my glory passes by, But I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. The Lord makes a concession to Moses. Moses begs him, Lord, I want to see your glory. Please let me see your glory. And the Lord said, I'm going to do that for you. You can't look on my face. There's no way. You can't handle it, Moses. You can't look on God and live. You'll be struck dead in the moment. But I'll allow you to get there in the little covering in the rock, and I'll put my hand over you, of course, speaking in a spiritual sense that we can understand. And I'm going to pass by you, and then as I go by, I'm going to let you look at the back of me. And you won't die, and you'll be able to see my glory. As we go into the next chapter, we find that Moses is called up to where God is. And we find in verse 5 of chapter 34, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed. And here Moses is. He's waiting. He's standing in the cleft of the rock. The hand of God is over him, and he can't see anything. But as the Lord passes by, the hand of the Lord is moved, and Moses is looking at the back of God, and he is seeing the glory of the Lord. And it's so surprising what he sees and hears. We never would have guessed it. We never would have thought it. But look how the Lord reveals his glory. And the Lord passed by before him, verse 6, and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and the fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. Lord, show me your glory. What did he expect to see? I don't know. What did he see? The attributes of God. He saw who the Lord is. And in that deepest revelation of who what his character is to Moses, he showed him more than the miracle of a material provision in food. He showed him more than a consuming fire or a cloud or even a partial vision of that beautiful throne and what was underneath it. It was more than that. It was the character of God. Did Moses expect that? I don't know. But that's what he saw. And as we're traveling through the wilderness, are we seeing his glory? Are we seeing his glory? Yes, we are. We see him provide for us every day. Give us this day our daily bread. Nobody ate manna this morning, but none of us did here. I don't doubt anybody anywhere did. But we all ate this morning if we chose to. And we'll eat again this afternoon and probably tonight and maybe before we go to bed and maybe get up in the middle of the night and eat something. I don't know. And we're all wearing clothes and we all had some transportation, whether it was our feet or a vehicle or a bus. We all got over here and we all have somewhere to go back to when we leave. And God is providing for us, and we see the glory of the Lord in that every day, even though we take it for granted many times. And no, we don't see a cloud that leads us around, but we go out of this building and we look up into the glorious heavens, and we read in Psalm 19 that the heavens declare the glory of God. And we see it every day. We see amazing things happen in our lives, and we can't fully understand them. It's like that partial view of the pavement underneath, and we see that, and that's the glory of the Lord. And somewhat times we see God in his judgment as a consuming fire, and we recognize that in our own hearts and our own lives or those around us or in the world, and we see God. We see his glory. We look back into the Scriptures and we see the glory of God. Look with me. We're going to go to the New Testament. That's what we've been trying to do, and we have been doing, because this was written for our learning and we have application in the New Testament. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We read in 1 Timothy 6:16 that God dwells in unapproachable light. He dwells in the light which no man can approach, whom no man has seen nor can see. That's what we read about God. We read in John 1:18 that no man has seen God at any time. But the rest of that verse in John 1:18 says the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. We get a little idea there of what's going on in the 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. We begin to really praise the Lord because we start saying He has shown His glory. Because you know what? Even though we saw the material provision of God this morning, and we've seen His glory, and even though we see the beauty of creation, and there's His glory, and even though we see Him work in miraculous ways, there's His glory, even though we see His power and judgment, there's His glory, there's something in our hearts that says, Lord, I want to see Your glory. Lord, I want to know more. Like Paul said, that I may know Him. Paul, you already know Him. I want to know Him more. I want to know Him more deeply. I want to see His glory. If that's in your heart, you appreciate this passage, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's there. The glory of the Lord, the glory of God. It's there for us to see. If we will cry out to God, like Moses beseeched the Lord, show me thy glory. The Lord was more than willing to show Moses His glory. All Moses had to do was ask. And he said, Moses, you can't see it all. But I'll put you here on the rock and I'll let you see what you're longing to see. Again, it probably was a surprise to Moses. But it was there. He showed him His glory. And now for us, if that is in our hearts, if your heart is longing for more, if you know you have come to God and confessed that you're a sinner, and you know that the Lord Jesus died for you, you've already had that light of the glorious gospel shine into your life and reveal your wickedness and reveal your sin before God. You've been held up to the Ten Commandments, and you've been held up to the Son of God, and you said, I'm a sinner. And you've recognized that there's nothing you can do to ever enable you to approach God on your own. You're wicked, you're vile, the sin has stained you. And there's nothing you can do to wash that away. There's no good work that you can do. There's no quantity of good deeds that you can perform that will in any way make you any more acceptable to God. And you've come to the understanding that you're a sinner separated from God, and that consuming fire is going to consume you for all eternity in the lake of fire without end, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And you come to the understanding that you're separated from God, but you believe that Jesus, God the Son, came to this earth, and now the glory of God has been shown in His face, the very face that we spit on, the very face that those who represented us punched and slapped and mocked and pressed a crown of thorns on that head that blood could run down onto that face. The face where we see the glory of God. But if we've realized that this one who came and stood there and took all of this beating and took those nails and took those stripes and took that shame and took that cross and then took our sins on himself and took them and carried them all and paid the penalty for them, if we have received that one who we know was buried but rose 3 days later and is in heaven at the right hand of the majesty on high, in all of the glory, he prayed before he went back to heaven, "Father, give me again that glory that I had with you before the world was." That glory that's his, that outward glory that couldn't be seen when he walked through this earth, but it's him. He veiled it. He hid it so he could become one of us and he could take our place. And if you've seen him like that and you said, "I want him to be my Savior. I trust him alone. I want to be forgiven of my sins. I want to have a relationship with God." And you've trusted him as your Savior. Then you know him. And you have the ability to know him more. We're going to have to wait a couple weeks. I apologize. I won't be here next Sunday. I wish we could just keep going. But your roast might burn. Or your stomach might growl. Or some of you might get up and leave. But you know what? You don't need to hear anymore, really. If you know Christ is your Savior, meditate on that verse. You want to see him? You want to see the glory of the Lord? I'll encourage you during the next 2 weeks before we look at this again and we come back and we're going to spend some more time on these New Testament passages focusing on the glory of the Lord seen in the face of Jesus Christ. But until then, you ask the Lord every day, "Lord, give me a hunger. Give me a thirst to see your glory. I'm sorry I've been satisfied with this world and what's out here. And to think that the glory of this world and the bright lights and the fun and the comforts and all that I'm getting satisfied with that. I don't want that. I want to want more. Lord, cause me to want more. Put the hunger in my heart, the thirst in my heart." Let him examine your heart. Let him see if something's there that's standing in the way. Ask him. Ask him to show you his glory. He wants to do it. You can't see it all now, but you can see it in the face of Jesus Christ. You'll find him right here. Not in a revelation on a mountain, but in the revelation of the Word of God. It's here for you. Look forward to getting back together and seeing more of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Father, we close this morning in prayer. But Father, as we close this time together in your Word, Father, we trust that it'll be the beginning, the opening of a new phase of all of our lives. Father, there's some in this room who for years have been gazing on the glory, on your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. But Father, I know that if they have been doing that, their heart's cry may be deeper than any to know more. They've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, and they want to see more. Father, for those here this morning who know you personally through your Son, but they have allowed the world to take away their appetite. They're wanting the leeks and the garlics like the Israelites did, thinking about going back to the flesh pots of Egypt, of the world. Father, I pray that you will stir up in their own hearts a fresh hunger and a fresh thirst, a fresh longing to see your glory. Father, those who don't know you at all, who are going through the motions but have never truly confessed your Son as Savior, never truly turned to him for salvation and forgiveness, Father, convict their hearts this morning that glory of the Lord is one day going to consume them. And that consummation is going to be forever and ever without end. Father, draw them to yourself by the Holy Spirit. Draw them to your Son, the Lord Jesus. Father, we want to see your glory. Father, we know that your glory is going to have such an impact on our lives. Father, show us your glory. And we ask this in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen.